The Frankenstein's Monster in the Making. Or better said, Zionism's Monster in the Making. May 1948. David Ben-Gurion unilaterally declares Zionist Israel's independence. But this isn't when Frankenstein's monster of a Zionist Israel was born. Almost 100 years earlier, Theodor Herzl proposed the idea of a Zionist Israel. This is when the Zionists began the nightmare of a Zionist monster, which to this day is the root cause of war, chaos, and suffering in West Asia. Let's turn back the hands of time and see where it all went wrong. August 1897. The Zionist organization meets in the first Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland, after vocal opposition by both the Orthodox and Reform Jewish leadership prevents the organization from meeting in Munich, Germany. And it is behind the closed doors of this mysterious Basel Congress in 1897 when Zionism's monster was envisioned. As Theodor Herzl says himself in his diary, "Were I to sum up the Basel Congress in a word, which I shall guard against pronouncing publicly, it would be this: at Basel, I founded the Jewish state. If I said this out loud today, I would be greeted by universal laughter. In 5 years, perhaps, and certainly in 50 years, everyone will perceive it." The plan to create the Zionist monster was put forth. All which was left was to implement the notorious plan. After the first Zionist Congress in 1897, the Zionist Congress met every year until 1901, then every second year from 1903 to 1913, and 1921 to 1939. Until 1946, the Zionist Congress was held every 2 years in various European cities, save for interruptions during the two world wars. The goal? Build an infrastructure to support the bases for Zionist settlements in Palestine. When the State of Israel was declared 51 years later in 1948, many of its new administrative institutions were already in place, having evolved during these regular Zionist congresses of the previous decades. The upcoming 38th World Zionist Congress will take place in 2020. Back to 1901. By the 5th Zionist Congress, the Jewish National Fund, suggested at the first Zionist Congress, was finally established to purchase land in Palestine. Soon thereafter, the Zionist Commission was founded by an individual whom attended all the Zionist Congress meetings, missing just one. That individual is Chaim Weizmann. Remember that name. 1907, the Zionist organization establishes an office in Palestine. The Zionist Commission, founded by Chaim Weizmann, expands this office to include the departments of agriculture, settlement, education, land, finance, immigration, and statistics. Also in 1907, Weizmann visits Jerusalem and while there helps organize the Palestine Land Development Company as a practical means of pursuing the Zionist nightmare. The mission: purchase land, provide training in agricultural pursuits, and establish agricultural settlements in Palestine. 1914, the infamous Rothschild banking clan is wooed. The motivator: lots and lots of money to be made. The Rothschilds advise Weizmann to seek the influence of the British government. So in 1914, amidst World War I, the British are seduced. The motivator: winning the war, breaking the Ottomans, and colonizing the rich Muslim lands. In a conversation with the Chancellor of the Exchequer, David Lloyd George, Chaim Weizmann suggests the strategy for the British campaign against the Ottoman Empire. And then, from 1914 onwards, a benevolent goodwill toward the Zionist idea emerges in Britain when intelligence reveals how the Zionist question could support British imperial interests against the Ottoman Muslims. 1915. Weissman begins working with Sir Mark Sykes of the Sykes-Picot Agreement, which conveniently carved up West Asia for imperialist interests, including giving the whole region of Palestine to the British as a British mandate. 1917. Chancellor of the Exchequer, David Lloyd George, invites Weissman to breakfast, where Weissman promises Jewish support for Britain, as the Jews might be able to render more assistance than the Arabs. Also in 1917, James Arthur Balfour, a close friend of Chaim Weizmann, puts forth the Balfour Declaration. 1918, the Jewish Legion, a group primarily of Zionist volunteers, assists the British in the conquest of Palestine. 1921, the Zionist Commission becomes the Palestine Zionist Executive, which acts as the Jewish agency, playing a central role in the founding and the development of the Zionist State of Israel, and advises the British Mandate authorities on the development of the country in the matters of Zionist interests. July 1922, the League of Nations issues its mandate for Palestine, which recognized the British government who had occupied Palestine during the First World War as the occupying power and effectively conferred to it the color of legal authority to temporarily administrate the territory. 1942. An extraordinary Zionist conference is held and announces a fundamental departure from traditional Zionist policy, demanding that Palestine be established as a Jewish commonwealth. This becomes the official Zionist stance on the ultimate aim of the movement. 1947, UN Resolution 181 passes, the fraudulent precursor for the Declaration of Zionist Independence. 1948, the United States of America is convinced. The motivator, a whole lot of Zionist campaign funding, and the gateway to America's neo-imperialist rule. And finally, May 1948, David Ben-Gurion declares unilaterally the independence of Zionist Israel. Almost a century in the making, but Zionism's monster was finally given life. Life to torment and desolate, vanquish and conquer, torture and destroy, subjugate and dominate West Asia. Next in line, the world. But fear not the Zionist monster, and mark our words, its life is artificial and temporary. But you must be wondering, what is UN Resolution 181? The fraudulent precursor to David Ben-Gurion's 1948 fiery ultimatum of Zionist Israel's independence. But that's a story for another episode.